Hi everyone, I'm Joel Premack and welcome to the Community-Led Growth Show. Each week, I will be speaking with community leaders to share insights with you all on how to build a community-led growth company. Let's get to it.
Hey everyone, I'm Joel Premack, host of the Community-Led Growth Show. Today, I'm joined by Mark Killens, CMO at AirMeet. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Mark.
Thanks for having me, Joel. Great to be speaking with you on this fantastic podcast. You know, we've talked a lot on LinkedIn in the past, so it's good to finally do this.
Likewise. And yes, it's so much fun to bring like LinkedIn relationships into another virtual setting. So happy we get to have a live conversation today. Well, I first want to start off our conversation today with a super softball question. Would you please give everyone a 30-second intro about yourself?
Oh, yeah. This is always the fun part, right? When you do this. I'm a longtime marketer. I guess you could say that. I've been doing it for about 15 years now. Been at four different companies. AirMeet's my fourth company. I guess you could say I really learned how to do marketing, though, within HubSpot and Drift, my past two companies. And I started at a really, really small company out of college, doing a ton of different things during the Great Recession. That also taught me a lot, don't get me wrong. But I think, you know, my marketing degree, my marketing MBA was provided to me through HubSpot and then Drift, of course. So super fortunate to have worked at those companies. And I guess you could say my probably biggest accomplishment that I was able to achieve with hundreds and hundreds of people that helped with this in a direct or indirect way was the creation of HubSpot Academy. Super excited to be talking to you today.
Yep. I saw them like, that is one nice feather in your cap.
For sure. It was fun. Yeah, it was fun. They're doing great. Courtney Semler is leading it. The team's like 60 people now. It started as just an experiment. Then it got funding, thanks to Frank Ogier for us and two other people, for myself and two other people to kind of see if it had legs. And sure enough, yeah, it was turned out to be something that really, helped HubSpot. But I think the biggest accomplishment that I like to point to is like the millions of people that it's helped teach, helped, you know, change their life in some way. It will always be very close to my heart.
Well, I'm just going to say one other thing. I think it's also really fun, or it must be really fun now that you're no longer at HubSpot, to still see people like completing the certification programs and sharing those on LinkedIn. I'm sure you see them just as much as I do. And it's always fun to be like, oh, that's so cool. So I just imagine that's a nice, like, warm fuzzy that you get when you see them.
Yeah, it is. And talk about community building, right? I mean, it was a huge catalyst to the community growth at HubSpot. 500,000 people certified, millions of people that are members of HubSpot Academy. Started off with just a couple of hundred people getting certified, you know, every few months. Now it's tens of thousands every month. Could be north of 50,000 every month. So yeah, I mean, education content as this catalyst to establishing a community within a larger community, you could say. HubSpot definitely had a community around it at that point. But this added to that kind of community flywheel, if you will.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go in a different direction today for our conversation. As much as I can talk about education, because I love it as part of the community strategy, we're going into events. So something that AirMeet has really coined is this go-to-market strategy of event-led growth. To set the stage for today's conversation, would you please define it for everybody?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Before I define it, I'll give you kind of some backstory on how it kind of came to be, at least in my head. It was from my time at Drift and then also reflecting upon my time at HubSpot. Both companies used events, I'm putting events in air quotes if you can't see me doing that, in a significant way to go to market. So for HubSpot, the first incarnation of events, even before inbound, HubSpot User Group Summit, then it became inbound. I was actually at the first ever HubSpot User Group Summit in 2009 at Gillette Stadium, the home of the Patriots, the football team. That's a wild story. We'll never forget that vivid thing like in my mind. But they were doing a lot of webinars before that. Mike Volpe, Karen Rubin. And like a webinar, in my opinion, is an event. So anytime you get an audience together in a live format, it's an event. And I think you have to think first about like, how do you define an event when you think about event-led growth? So when you think about webinars, trainings, a live podcast, you know, if this was a live episode, of course, the summits, the conferences, but even like, you know, small meetings of 20 people that are invite only that are either in person or online, those are all events, in my opinion. So when you think about how HubSpot grew their business through a lot of webinars, user groups, the big summit they did every year, field events, and then you think about how we did that at Drift too, really with Hypergrowth being one of the catalysts to the community growth, Hypergrowth being the in-person event that was started back in 2017, events were a huge driver of growth to those businesses. And they are, of course, that same thing at Aramites. But when I reflect back on those experiences, and when I was thinking about maybe joining a company like Aramite, I was like, there's something more here. There's more like there's more than just like events as a channel, events as an offer, events as a catalyst to a community. Events can be and are this driver of business growth that I don't think people have fully like realized or thought of as like a strategy. When you think about it as a strategy, and now it's going to require us, Joel, to teach a lot of people about how to do this with other people in the community that are doing it. It's gonna hopefully unlock a lot of like good things for a business. Because you think about just what those things did for HubSpot and Drift, of course, drove revenue and whatnot, but it really grew the community. It spread word of mouth. It formed connections between people and the brand. But then most importantly, it formed connections within the community of people that HubSpot was attracting, right? It created these kind of different sub-communities, or as Darvesh would say, like nodes within a community that then get connected together. And it's all because of the act of joining together, getting people together via some type of shared experience.
Definitely would agree. And I think something else is an outsider looking in, especially at Drift's hypergrowth, that I would always see after, usually the day of, or the couple days after, would be posts on LinkedIn with like screenshots and people just like raving about it. And so it's just like, oh, like all these people on my feed are like raving about it. Like, boy, I must have missed out on it. Like either you're going to sign up for the on-demand to watch it if it's available, or you're going to make sure that you don't miss hypergrowth then in the future because you remember all the social proof element.
What's a great point. I call it the event engagement ripple. Like you drop, you know, a stone into a body of water or anything into a body of water and it creates ripples from it. So you have the event, but then you have like the social aspect of it that happens, during it, but then like you said, after. Then you have the content that you can build as one of those ripples, you know, after the fact. Then you have just like how an event will help attract people back to your website after the fact as well, because the social and content piece. Then you have like the word of mouth that comes from it because people talk about hypergrowth. We're still talking right now to your points. Like, wait a minute, there was 5 years ago. Word of mouth is still happening around that, right? Inbounds, you know, I brought up inbound from 2009 or HubSpot User Group Summit. That's what it was called. So like, though, I mean, right there, right? It's kind of meta how we're talking about this now, but like, that's the ripple that has a very long tail when it comes to events versus maybe like an ebook. Like, does an ebook have that same type of ripple? Probably not.
Interesting. So I would go, I'm going to take a different side on that then and say, if you do an ebook that's especially data driven, I think you have more opportunities to use it in more ways, whether it's doing your own webinar, or if you're sponsoring like another event, maybe your session's going to be pulling in some of that data that only you really have, because you hopefully you're the one who like paid for it. So it actually is your own data. But I think from there, you have opportunities to like use it in those virtual experiences. You can bring that data onto podcasts, into content. So I think with data-driven ebooks and things of that nature and reports, you can, similarly to events. I think if it's just an ebook around heavy content, but not like the data piece that's something special and proprietary and unique, then it becomes harder. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. No, I think that I would jive with that opinion. The only difference I'd say is both can create those ripples, right? That kind of lasting staying power that spreads in a few different ways. And I like how you said, like, yeah, you can start with a piece of content, then do different types of events around it, or start with an event and then do content from the event. Definitely both approaches are very smart, and you should try both and do both. The thing though with the ebook, I think the ripples are not as big as typically an event, depending on, again, event being not apples to apples to all ebooks and vice versa. I have the sense, I really don't have data to quantify this, just my gut feeling based off of like 15 years of looking at this stuff. I think event will have a bigger ripple effect. That being said, if you look at like a certification course though, say like the inbound certification, that might have a bigger ripple effect than a lot of events. Needless to say, I think what we're getting ahead of is you need diversity in your community building efforts. And I think events are one of the best ways to create that diversity and also create efficiency, because if you start with the event first approach, you then have the ability to do a lot with the things that happen at the event. And not just like the actual things like the content and whatnot, but like the relationships that and the partnerships you might create during the event and the email lists you generate. Because at the end of the day, like, you're generating an email list, you're generating engagement. How could you go back to then some of those people with that? So for example, we partnered with a new media company, a B2B media company called Partner Hacker. There's another company called Partner Stack that we did something with, but Partner Hacker back in November, they did a 5-day event. That's kind of one of the big jumping off points for their community. And like, since then we've done like, I can't even tell you, countless number of small things, and we're planning another big partnership next year. But like, you know, that was a catalyst of an event we did together. So anyway, we're kind of bouncing around here, but your question on event-led growth and how it can help not just a business grow, but a community grow, I think we're kind of pulling at that right now.
Yeah. So I'm going to go a little next level into that. When you say event-led growth, we just talked about it. Now I'm curious, like, what or who do you think is doing this exceptionally well in terms of either communities or companies? So people have real life examples to go look and kind of do their own like research and do their own like little case study. Because I think it's helpful to have examples and say like, hey, this is why they're winning, and this is how we could take elements that we really like that are missing from ours and implement that into our program.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you a crazy example. That's not even a company. That's not a B2B or B2C company. I'll start with this crazy example, and we can go into some other examples. Like, then there's a very traditional B2B example that I use a lot. But the most like, kind of out there example is when an artist or a band goes on tour. And the best example of this is the Grateful Dead.
I'm trying to catch up. Oh my gosh. I'm pretty speechless right now. I don't know how I feel about that on my own show. Usually that doesn't happen.
I mean, that's the best example, in my opinion. One of the best examples. Cool. I mean, probably not the best, but
no,
we can unpack it for people cool. that don't know the story, but yes. Right? Like,
please.
The events, oh gosh, the shows, please. I mean, that's, you sell merchandise, that's everything to that, right? Right. I mean, that's, so yeah, we can stop here though, but like, we can go to B2B examples and other examples, but like, I always like to use an example that's like way out there, because like, that's the other way we've thought about this too. It's not just like, this was pioneered way before like B2B businesses, way before tech was around, right? This was pioneered probably before the Grateful Dead example, but yeah, I mean, that's probably like the all-time classic. And actually, Brian Helgen did write a good book with David Merriman Scott about the Grateful Dead. They took more of a, maybe like a content angle, but they do talk about like their strategy in there and how it was like all about inbound, pulling people in, right? Not charging for those concerts even really, right? Very, like, you know, just for free basically. And I guess where that is, like, that's free free webinars, B2B way, right? Like free, you know, events now. I mean, some of the events you go to in person aren't as free, but like, you see what I'm getting at here, right? But like, that's event-led growth.
Yeah. Well, there's that. And then equally, like, we're also, I argue, seeing it in terms of ungated content too. Now that there's a little bit of a, we'll say, a shifting in terms of attitudes towards forms, probably within B2B, that some organizations and spaces are really embracing. So, yeah.
No, I agree. And then like, if you go on the other end of the spectrum, the other end of the spectrum between like the Grateful Dead and like, you know, Taylor Swift or whatever these artists, right? You have Salesforce. I use that example because it's so easy to understand, and they still do it today. Back in like 2000, 2001, 2002, 3, 4, 5, Salesforce just did a lot of in-person events, like a lot of them throughout the year. And what would happen is they would, you know, do all these events, small events, big events, you know, across the world. And then they would have a closing event, AKA Dreamforce. And they would invite all those people that went to one or two of those events to Dreamforce. And that's when they would sign the deals. That's when it all like culminated, right? So they used events as a momentum builder, and then had an ultimate mega, like, holy crap, I'm going to blow your mind event to bring it all together, like put the bow on it. So Salesforce is a great example. They still do this today, albeit a little bit differently, and it's definitely virtual and in person. It's I mean, their events team is huge. But that's a really good example, I think.
I like that. And I did not know that it was used in that manner as someone who is not a Salesforce user.
No, I'm this dates me, right? I was still in college. Yeah. I mean, like late high school, and they were doing this stuff. Salesforce was a huge pioneer, right? So like, no, I'm with you. But like, I studied it a little bit, talked to a lot of people, yeah. Talked to people at Salesforce that were kind of across 20 plus years, you know, and they're really good at this. I mean, they're really good. Because even that, like even like then, right, inbound content blogging became kind of more, you know, appropriate. 2006, 7, 8, HubSpot started to really do it. Like, what were they doing before then? Like, it was events. I mean, but like, no one's put a term to this. Just like how, like, you know, you could call inbound marketing content-led growth. You know, then there's, you could also call it community-led growth. I think it's a combination of a few things. I think the best, you know, inbound marketing today, if I had to like think about GTM strategies or growth strategies, inbound marketing is a combination of community, content, and events, and product. Those four, right? That's like the purest form of probably inbound marketing these days, inbound.
Interesting. I probably would have swapped product for customer.
Fair. Yeah, we could talk about that. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
But that's just like my personal hot take of few years of experience, not 15 like yours, but that would be my hot take on that. But definitely no, really fair. Cool and exciting. So
you could even argue that like those four things create customers, like, you know, customers that either are or aren't paying you money, but they're consuming your product, right? Free or pay, and like they're at the center of that whole thing. Or, you know, if you think with the inbound like flywheel model, like they're around the edges of it. So, but like, yeah, no, I agree. I mean, and then it's like, well, you know, then there's the debate of like, well, when you say community led, what does that mean? Because in my estimation, the best communities have the combination of both customers and non-customers, and like you're using customers to attract new people into the community. So it's like, what does that all end? There's like definitely like, and there's no one right answer here for sure. So it's just like kind of like how you want to think about it.
Mark, that one question could have been an entire episode. I would bet that we could have gone on and on, probably almost debating it, because I'm sure we have possibly different viewpoints on that one, but definitely very interesting.
Could have a few different people do an episode about that. I'd be like a cool, like two or three, like a two-on-two debate, two people that think about it kind of like this, two people that think about this. That's also, by the way, a great way to do your webinars these days, to do like one-on-one or two-on-two kind of debates. So not everyone's agreeing, but they're actually like factually bringing things to the table. We're going to try a mini series like that in 2023, where we have these one-on-one and two-on-two debates.
It's so cool. I like the idea. It almost feels like a double fireside chat, where you almost intentionally are getting guests who have differing points of view. So you have that like healthy, respectful conversation, but still insightful and impactful too.
Yep. Exactly.
I got you. So we've now just talked about some companies that are doing it really well when it comes to events and how communities can benefit from event, where it kind of sits within the world of driving new members and engagement within a community. So now I'm just really curious, what are some examples of how you all, or how you previously or currently think about showing ROI for event-led growth and that impact on community strategies and programs?
Very important question. You should always, like look at the leading and lagging indicators, like the outcomes. If you actually go to Google and just type in return on events, and maybe AirMeet after it, or not even AirMeet, you'll find some stuff we've wrote about on the blog and on the website about measuring this. No exaggeration between the more input versus output, leading versus lagging indicators. There's like 70 different metrics. I think it's 70 or 80 different metrics you can measure. Like, we have this outlined as a visual too. So the question then is like, well, that's obviously not like tenable, reasonable, probably for every event. So how do you pick the ones that make the most sense? And that's where, for me, when it comes to events and even content, spend more time planning, writing out the brief, writing out the audience, why they'd attend, why you're doing the event. If you do that, the metrics will naturally show themselves. But if you think of measurement as an afterthought and it's not part and very much at the forefront of your planning process, you won't have the best sense of measuring it. But like, not only that, it's about the actions that need or should be happening during or after the event, based off of the people who attend and engage and the people who don't do those things. So it's like every event is a moment in time, but then it's like, what do you do with that moment in time? Right? It's like, I mean, a crazy example, because I've gone through this recently twice, is like the birth of a child. That's a moment in time, but like, that's just the moment in time when this incredible thing happened. You got like hopefully decades to go, right, from that thing happening, right? A lot of action has to be taken as a result of that. I want to maybe call it, it is an event if you define an event like that, but like that thing in your life, right? So when you think about something like, and I'm not trying to compare B2B events to, you know, childbirth by any means, don't get me wrong. What I'm just trying to articulate is, it's a waste if you don't think about how to use that moment in time down the road to benefit the community or your customers. And then, yeah, of course, yeah, like the business in some way, ideally. So yeah, you have to think about this upfront. And I think about it as, what are the ways we measure the quality of the event from an attendee standpoint? So how do we measure the quality of who comes and registers versus the quantity of it? Because you'll never have perfect quality, I don't think. I mean, there are probably sometimes that happens. I bet it's extremely rare where you're like, I want exactly these types of people to register and show up. And it's like perfect quality. Like when I say quality, it's all about like the ICP, you know, match, the account fit match, the persona fit match, whatever you want to, you know, use as your point of reference. But looking at quantity and quality, leading and lagging indicators is the way I would think about it at a high level.
Awesome. Thank you. And I think that's really interesting about figure out like the right metrics to choose for the event slash like what you want to report on, versus all the metrics, as you said, like 70 to 80, 85, I think you said, like that's, you would get analysis paralysis just staring at the spreadsheet from the download of the data. Like you wouldn't have to do anything with it. I think that alone would just
been there.
Oh my, I'm so sorry.
No. I kind of tease and joke, but like, no, I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, yeah. That's the great thing about technology and the digitalization of our lives and work, is you have more data, but to your point, it can also be, get you deep into the mud.
Yeah.
And that's not fun.
Nope. That's why I think it's good to have, like, when, as you said, when you're setting up a program and doing that, like, formal thought process around a program brief, setting up those key metrics ahead of time. So then you know exactly what you're pulling after the event or program, whatever it is wrapped up. And then you just kind of avoid the pieces that you're not measuring. Not avoid, but you don't focus 110% on all of it. You focus the majority on those key ones that you've identified for it.
Yep, 100%.
Awesome. So curious now, what are your thoughts on best practices for when communities are either launching or they may already have a community, but are looking to grow and incorporate events as part of their engagement strategy? Like, have you found some like tested and true best practices that you think every community, when they're doing events, should incorporate into their event strategy?
This one might be obvious, but just get the members to speak and participate at the events, not just attend, like get them to actually be on the stage of the online or in-person stage. Like, get them to be the host. I mean, yeah, get them to be the host of the event, not just even, so HubSpot user groups, great example. Like, those community members were empowered to be the host and leaders of those user groups. And yeah, they spoke at them, but they also were the actual physical hosts and people who set up the location and got people to the events, get members to invite people to the events. I mean, you really shouldn't have to incentivize them that much, if at all. If the community has real kind of teeth and meaning behind it. So the simple answer is just participate in a few different ways. Beyond that, I think it's then about how do you help them, like the planning. How do you involve your community in planning? So, like, you have customer advisory boards. What about community advisory boards? Term I don't hear that often. Be interesting to spin one of those up and then have them work with you on an event strategy.
So that reminds me, it makes me think of, it's very similar to what many communities do have, which is like an ambassador program. I won't say many communities. I think predominantly two types of communities have them, but I think that that's really where that type of relationship with highly engaged members, where they're heavily invested in the success and belief in the community, would come in. And that's where they would be more open to really co-building like the strategy and some of these larger pillars within the community.
Great point. Yes. I mean, that's a great way. Any way you have like a segment of that community that's more active, that's engaged at a different level, that wants to do more. Yeah, like engage them and say like, look, we want your input and then your leadership and support with these events. Yeah. And the other way to do it too, just one last quick idea, is like,
yeah,
partner with another community that's already doing events and get your members to come to that event. If you don't have the capacity, whatever, just go to an existing community that's similar to yours, or like, you know, aligned in a way, and have your members go there and try to form that partnership. So yeah, mm-hmm. That's the other way I would do it.
That's a unique idea. I haven't thought about that or heard of anyone doing that I know of, but I like it. I like it. Make me think, Mark. So now that we've talked about best practices for event strategies for communities, I'm really curious, what are your three community trends that you're watching for in 2023 and beyond?
Definitely the rise of creators. You know, we've launched this creator studio at Airmeet, and creators are going to play a bigger part in community growth. That can, again, to your point, probably be a whole podcast episode. That's a huge one. Second would be, I mean, I have to say, communities being smarter about using different types of events, like different event use cases, throughout the entire stage of the community growth, like using events to get new members, using events to educate members, using events to retain members, you know, using events more. That's, I think that's a huge thing. And then third would be, which one do I want to pick?
You can have four if you'd like.
No, I know we're coming up on time. Like, I feel like third would be just really making sure that like the community has depthness. Like there's like, you know, you go back to like the idea of like, what's your belief system? What's the purpose and meaning of this community? And like making sure that starts to like, you know, kind of feed itself through the community more. Like, hey, don't take that for granted. That can get lost kind of quickly too, if you're not careful. I mean, a crazy example of this, and maybe this is way too out there, and I don't know if you would call this a community, but maybe it's like the Republican political party, right? I mean, it's like, you could say that same thing with the Democrats. They've all, you know, and you can start to see splintering happen. And maybe that's good because they were too big, and you need to have this kind of splintering that happens. I'm not trying to bring politics into this by any means, but that was just the example that came into my head quickly. But you got to, what do you stand for? Like, sometimes that does need to change. Just make sure that, like, you know, as it changes or it needs to change, like, you know, I don't have any good answers here, but like you involve a good contingent of the community, and like there's voices that can be heard, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely think that that's a great point about essentially like bringing members into whatever you're doing to help really, as I said earlier, a little bit like co-build and co-create. So then they feel more deeply connected to whatever you're working on together for the broader community.
Yes. Yep.
Well, Mark, again, thank you so much for being on the Community Led Grow Show today. I had a really fun time chatting with you. Hope you did as well. If people want to follow and connect with you after listening or watching the episode, what are the best channels and or handles for them to use?
Just go to Google, type in my name, or go to LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter a little bit. Twitter definitely, you know, it's gone like this for me a little bit, unfortunately. LinkedIn is definitely the number one spot. But yeah, I would love to talk to you folks. You know, shoot me an email, just my first dot last name at Airmeet. Love to talk to a community or events. Thanks for having me, awesome. Joel.
Of course. Thank you so much, Mark.